This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide. Brought to you by The Pint, Oodle Noodle, and OilersNation.com.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
We are broadcasting live today at The Pint, downtown 109th Street and Jasper Avenue. Invite you by. You can also email us at nationradio@theteam1260.com. Coming up in this hour, Gene Principe from Rogers Sportsnet. We're going to talk a little bit about the Oilers and possibly some moves they'll make in the summertime. We'll have Jim Byers on from the Oklahoma City Barons, a very busy weekend. One more win and they're in, I believe. We'll get confirmation from Jim later on this hour. And Jason McKee from Spruce Grove Saints, their head coach, another championship for them, the AJHL, and that happened last night against Camrose. We'll talk about that and more. Some confusion about the clear day roster for the Oklahoma City Barons, so I want to pass this along again. Some folks thinking that Liam Reddix is on the list. As far as I know, he's not. This is the clear day roster that was approved by the American Hockey League. It goes like this. In goal, Jeff Drouin-Delorier and Martin Gerber. Gerber is healthy again. We'll check with Jim, but I believe he was on the bench last night. On the blue line, Brian Helmer, the veteran who was signed midseason by OKC. Also, Kevin Montgomery, the gentleman who was picked up in a deal for Sean Bell and has looked very good so far. And Richard Pettiot. Also, Jeff Petrie on the Oilers now. He can be sent back and optioned out to Oklahoma City. Alex Plott, Jake Taylor, and Colton Tubert. One of the things we'll talk to Jim about is how those defensive pairings will look with Petrie going back down. Up front, Mark Arcobello, Alex Giroux, Timo Hartikainen, Linus Omark, Ryan O'Mara, and Chris Van de Velde will all be sent down or have the option to be sent down. Milan Kitnar, Andrew Lord, Colin McDonald, Brad Moran, Ben Andres, Greg Stewart, and Zach Stortini, in case you'd forgotten about Zach Stortini. He's on the roster. Defenseman Anthony Aiello and forwards Phil Cornett and Matt Marquardt are still available to practice. They can only play in a game with injury, recall, and suspension. Okay, that would have to put Oklahoma City at 17 games or 17 players or fewer. That's the only option that they can play. Some of these AHL kids, not just the ones who've been called up, but some of these kids are really playing well. In the last six games, Milan Kitnar is 5 goals, 3 assists, +5. Arcobello, who was just signed to a contract by the Oilers, 6 games, 3-4-7, +4. Tanner House, who was signed as a free agent after his NCAA career ended, 4 games, 1-3-4, +4. And Philip Cornett, 0-4-4, +3 after the last six games for him. And Montgomery is +9 in the last five. He came over from the Colorado organization and looks very good. And it'll be interesting to see when Petrie goes down exactly what happens as far as the depth chart is concerned. It's going to be an interesting item. Got a few other emails to get to. By the way, you can email us at nationradio@theteam1260.com. This is coming in from Speeds. He says, I'm wondering about Habib Boulin continuing to make so many starts in spite of his performance as compared to Dubnyk. Speeds, I think that was addressed a little bit in our conversation earlier with regard to the Toronto Maple Leafs and James Reimer. A lot of times with NHL teams, it's a matter of not wanting to put too much pressure on a rookie or a young goaltender, and that's likely what's happened with Reimer and with Dubnyk here, and that's the reason. Despite the fact that their performances are somewhat different, Dubnyk is almost at 500, I believe, in one loss, and his save percentage is better. I think there's a sense of not wanting to put too much pressure on Dubnyk because this is his rookie year, even though he's playing very well. It's 4 minutes after one. We are Nation Radio, live at the Pint on Edmonton Sports Radio, Team 1260. Great deal of pleasure to welcome Gene Principe from Rogers Sportsnet.
Good morning. How are you? Or afternoon now, I guess. Sorry.
No problem at all. Now, this is basically the end of a long year for you. Do you hit the links and fly out, or do you hang around for a while?
You know what? I am not a golfer at all. To be honest with you, I get the attraction, but I just have never had it myself. For example, I didn't golf once last summer, and usually I would golf once a year with my buddies, but as we would joke, you'd pay $40 or $50 just to go for a walk in the park. So I'm not a golfer at all. I just like to, you know, enjoy family time, of course, after a busy year. And I play soccer, and just enjoy the outdoors. I do like being outside a lot in the summer, but not when it comes to golf.
Yeah, I can imagine that, you know, indoors all time, and you're working late nights and all that kind of stuff. It's probably really important to get family time in the summertime.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's what I. There's times in the winter where you kind of go, no, why am I doing this? I'm doing it because I do love it, but it gets long and drawn out at times. But then when you get the off season where it's a lot quieter and you have a lot more time to do what I want to do, which is spend time with my family and enjoy a few other things, then, I'll kind of, it's about balance in life, right? So yep. Sometimes it teeter-totters one way too much, and then you're able to kind of even it back out.
To the business at hand of the NHL season, if you had a vote for Oilers Rookie of the Year, and maybe you do, who would you choose?
Oh, well, you know what? I'm going to go Taylor Hall. Yeah, I just think that, if he had been able to play, I think he finished at 65 games, so that's 17 more games. I'm thinking, he was starting to, people will look at 42 points in 65 games, and of course they do the math and they average it out, but you have to look at how he was like a river, right? He was cresting, and he was going up, and he was going up. So I'll tell you what, I wouldn't have been surprised if he finished with, well, certainly in the 50s for points, and I wouldn't have been totally shocked to have him hit 30 goals. I just think that he was playing so well. And the other thing, too, is, you can count on one hand, maybe two, how many guys either get you to the edge of your seat or get you out of it. And he's, in my books, one of them. And so he'd have to be my rookie of the year, even though Jordan Eberle's been really good. He's a less... Well, I was going to say less dynamic, but if you saw his first NHL goal, you might be disagreeing with me on that. But generally speaking, he's not as dynamic as Taylor. Doesn't mean he can't be as effective, or maybe more effective at times, but just different kinds of players. So I guess Taylor would get my vote.
Yeah, I'd agree with Hall in that the team has never been more dangerous than when he was in the lineup, and I think when he went out of the lineup, they've been a little easier to play against for other teams because Hall, he didn't take long to become a very dangerous player on the ice.
The other thing, too, is did he make guys around him better? And I think Taylor did that. He's got that quality kind of like Hemsky, is that he can make people better around him. And that's one of the things I look at, he was traded at the deadline, and I like Dustin Penner. But when you look at that particular character trait, I don't think Dustin was big on that. Like, I just don't think Dustin made a lot of the guys around him better. Mm-hmm. He is a good player. He would score 30 goals on a team that, finishes 30th in the NHL. But I just don't know if he could get guys out of slumps, I guess. And I think Taylor Hall and Alex Hemsky in particular on Edmonton are guys that can pull other guys with them. And if they're in a slump, that's the guy you want to put them with.
One of the quotes that I think got lost, or at least for me anyway, I was hoping it would be extrapolated a little more as time went on, was when Rennie talked about Taylor Hall and the center experiment. At the end of it, he said, this isn't over. I'm assuming now that he meant like for next season. Do you think that's something that the Oilers as an organization will look at over the summertime?
Well, I think that they will, and I think that they have to. They're exploring where he fits best. At this point, I believe he's best on the wing, but only because he's played more of that. I'm not suggesting he can't be. I think with Taylor, I think he's going to be pretty good to really good to great in any of those positions. Now, how are you going to maximize him the most? Is it on wing or center? Right now, I think it's wing, but that doesn't mean it can't be center. And the other thing, too, is who do they draft, right? And who do they sign in the offseason? If they draft Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, for example, he may not be quite ready to come to the NHL, but if they have another young centerman that they draft and they sign another centerman, they may not need him at center. I think if the Oilers had to a top, first line and a second line center that they felt really, really comfortable about, they may not have even tried Taylor at center. But if you're ever going to experiment, it was like the 60s around the Oilers this year. Why not, right? Yep. Start experimenting with stuff just to see what works and how well it works. And, the kid's got a really good hockey IQ, so I think he'll fit in anywhere. But the other thing, too, is if you end up, how would a line of Eberle, Hall and Pierre look? It would look great, but I don't know if that's, it depends if Taylor wants to play and if they want him to play center, but I don't think it's over for sure because I think that he'll get some games at center again next year to see if that's a good fit for him.
Yeah. With all the excitement over the great, I mean, the three rookies up front, plus the call-ups. I mean, Hartikainen's looked great. Omark has looked great. Lost in the shuffle a little bit, and partly due to injury, has been Gilbert Brulé. Where do you see him slotting in for next year?
Don't know. I mean, I don't know. I know that Gilbert Brulé can play in the NHL. I have no doubt about that. You can discuss, argue where he fits, if he's a third line or a second line, or maybe some people think he's a fourth line, or for that matter, a first line. But he needs to get himself straightened out health-wise. I mean, this just has been, for him, it's funny because it's not that he's you know, he hasn't had a season-ending injury like Hemsky had last year, for example, or Ryan Whitney had this year. But in some ways, it feels like the season's been a waste for him just because it's been in and out and in and out and in and out. And now with a concussion, you know, no answers are clear on that front if that's what's sort of lingering for him. But he's a young man who just has health problems and got to get that fixed up, because I think if they fix that up, to me, he would be the kind of guy that could be elevated in your lineup, but you might slot in as a third line guy because he is pretty gritty when he plays. He's fast and he's got some skill, but if you needed him to move up, he could. But they just got to figure out what's going on with this kid, to see if they can just get him straightened out. He's still just I think he was an 05 draft, which makes him next year, I mean, he's like 24, 25 years old.
Yeah, he's
still a young man.
Yeah. He reminds me a little bit about his career progression in Edmonton. Reminds me a little bit about what happened with Joffrey Lupul. I don't think anybody questioned that Lupul had talent. It just didn't come out here very well, and it appears to me Brulé might be in the same situation. He may need a you know, a change of scenery.
Well, I wonder, you know, and I mean, I think if I'm just going off memory, but I think he signed a two-year deal going into this past year, and it was 2 years and I think $3.5 million. So at that rate, if you're a team that thinks he can be a second-line player, for that matter, a third-line player, you know, that's not a bad return if he gets you 20 goals. But I just, it's been a strange year for him. He's a real nice kid. He wants to play. He wants to be good. He wants to compete. He wants to be a contributor to the Oilers. But, you know, you can't do that from a hospital bed or the medical room or from the press box.
No. Let's change positions a little bit. I thought Steve Tamalini did a really nice job last summer bringing in Martin Gerber as insurance in goal. They may have to do something similar this year because Dubnyk has really established himself and played well. But Nikolai Habibulin, you know, he had some difficulties this year. Do you see them signing or acquiring a goalie as a depth guy who can play in the AHL similar to Gerber for next year?
Well, I think so. I mean, there, you know, I think with Nikolai, from a back standpoint, there were a lot of concerns this year that, you know, would his back hold up? And I think that he's fine now. I mean, it hasn't been a good season for him, but I don't think anyone would point to his back for the reason or biggest reason that it's been like that. I'm a bit torn. I mean, I think if there's someone available, for sure. I mean, Gerber was a great insurance policy, and I know a lot of people wonder why he, you know, he wasn't playing, but you have to do some math, and whether that be the math of contracts or the math of ages, that's why he wasn't up here for more than the three games that he won. You know, the other thing is, if you're Jeff Delorier, I mean, what are you thinking? Are you thinking, no, I think I'm going to try somewhere else, or do you think, well, maybe if I have a really good year in the minors, and Nikolai Habibulin after that is only 1 year left, you know, I got more of a shot. I don't know that they're as desperate for depth in net, mm-hmm. only because Nick has proven that his back is okay, you know, knock on wood, unless something unforeseen occurs, where that was a big question mark. And obviously last year there was a lot of talk about his, you know, his situation off the ice, and there was uncertainty regarding that. But I believe, and I'm certainly not a criminal lawyer, but if and or when he ends up going, you know, to prison or to wherever he needs to go, it would be done in the off season. So that's not a concern that he would be pulled out of the lineup during the year. So would they look for someone? I don't think they're not looking for someone, but I don't think they need it as much as they needed it going into this past year.
on the blue line, Curtis Foster was a disappointment, but he's got another year, and often with free agents, it takes a year to adjust. And obviously, he had some issues that were outside the rink that we, you know, have to, you know, allow for. Do you think the Oilers along the blue line may bring back a Jim Vandermeer or someone similar because of the fact that that's such an injury-prone position?
Well, yeah, I think they're open to bringing Jim Vandermeer back. Probably not at $2.3 million, but you know, if you look at this team, you'd have to think that Whitney Gilbert Petrie would be three of your blue liners, you know, barring a trade. But there's three. You probably are thinking that Schmid and Peckham are part of it. So that's your up to 4-5, which leaves you, you know, Jason Strudwick. Hard to say whether you know, he's as well loved the guys you'll find in that dressing room, but it depends on who else is sort of on their way up. Taylor Chorney, does he fit? No, I do think that they could use probably like a, well, I mean, it'd be great to get a top two defenseman, but I think if they could get a 3-4 guy who could log 20 minutes and kind of fit in with the Whitney Gilbert Petrie combination, I think that would serve them, reasonably speaking, well enough, because this year, certainly after they lost Ryan, it was you know, a difficult time back there. They went through a number of different defensemen. I kind of thought Sean Bell would be a good fit, but you know, obviously that didn't work out. So yes, some depth would be great, but I think if they could get someone who's a 3-4, that would be the best fit for them, because they've got, again, getting a 1-2 is, I'm going to say, nearly impossible. So if you can't get that, then to get someone just sort of below that would help out, because I think they've got Whitney and Petrie potentially up top. They've got Schmid and Peckham sort of, you know, as a third line pairing or somewhere in that mix. It's that middle area I think they need a little bit more.
Right. Do you talk to Stu McGregor a lot? Is he around and you can yak at him a little bit?
You know what? I haven't seen him for a while, but I do, you know, certainly when I see him, we do talk. You want to know about who they're going to draft?
Well, I'd like to break the news here if I could, you know.
Well, I can't break it for you. I hate to say it. I mean, I think right now the sexier option is Ryan Nugent-Hopkins because of the series that he had against the Edmonton Oil Kings, because he's an hour and a half down the road, because he's a Canadian kid, and because he said, I'd like to play for Edmonton. I mean, you're thinking, well, what, you know, do I have to go to door number two when I hear that from door number one? But I think the biggest thing is, in my mind, it's one of those two guys, him or Adam Larson. Landeskog, you know, I can't say that I've seen him a lot or as much, or maybe read as much about him. And Couturier, you know, here's the thing. If you could give his height and weight to Nugent Hopkins,
yeah,
then I could guarantee you who'd be first overall.
Right,
I think
exactly.
It'd be pretty easy. Yeah. So I don't know how caught up they are in the size thing. I would agree from a standpoint of, you know, when I look at a Perry and a Getzlaff from Anaheim, I mean, I would love to see someone 6'3", 220, play a forward position with skill. Jarvie's close to that. I mean, he's not quite that big, but he's, you know, he's
big
size
man.
Isn't an issue for him.
Yep.
But after that, you've got Omark, you've got Gagne, you've got, you know, Hall's not small, but he's not big. You got Eberle, you got a lot of guys who are in that 5'10", 5'11", 6-foot range. So from that standpoint, Couturier would be great, but I just don't know if he's got enough to be a first overall pick. Larson, depends. If he's the next Eric Johnson, no. I don't, you know, you don't want him. But if you think that he can be a franchise-type player, which don't come around very often, or at least someone that you think will play in your top four for the next 10 to 15 years or 10 years, then, you know, maybe give that a go. I mean, the Oilers do have a lot of upfront skill. Can you use more? Always. Do you need more at defense? Yes. The other guy we didn't talk about on defense is Colton Tuber. He's another
right.
guy that would be more of a, I think, a 4-5-6 than a 1-2-3. So, you know, you may see the Oilers, they may have enough toughness on the blue line. They may not need to keep some of the guys I mentioned that provide the toughness, but I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Yep.
But I remember last year covering the draft, and I was back and forth. One week I was Sagan, one week I was Hall. One week I was Hall, one week I was Sagan. Then you meet them and you talk to them and go, wow, I'd take Sagan. Then you take, you know, I mean, I was back and forth, and that's just going on what I've seen, what I've heard, and their personalities. You know, the Oilers have done 100-fold times more checking than I've done into these kids. So it's really difficult to say who will be the number one pick for Edmonton if they win the lottery.
Yeah. Final question, Gene, and this one's a little out there, so bear with me. I worked with Bryn Griffiths for years, and he would go on the internet and surf pun. So and he would get in a car and drive 600 miles if he had to in any direction for a good pun. So I know you'd get along well with him. My question for you is, you come up with groaner puns and funny puns and lots of puns. Do you get some of those sent to you, or are those all yours?
You know what's happening now? They used to be all mine, because that's just, you know, I would get the odd one sort of thrown at me, right, from people. But now, in the world of Twitter, I get some doozies sent to me. I mean, I got to tell you, I mean, I certainly haven't cornered the market on puns, right? There's lots of people out there that have great creative minds. And so I think, especially for me, I've been on Twitter since the trade deadline two seasons ago, or last season, that more and more now people will say, hey, use this, or how about this one? And of course, some are okay, some aren't very good, kind of like my work, and then some are fantastic. And a lot of times when I get a fantastic one, I email or tweet the guy back or girl back, say, you know what, don't be surprised if I use that, okay? So there are some good ones that are coming my way now. And I mean, the longer you do it, the more help you need in order to keep doing it reasonably well. Or reasonably not so well, depending on who the viewer is. So I do get some help nowadays, but I mean, most still come from me, but there's people out there, though, that have some real good ideas on some puns. So I really appreciate the help, especially during a tough season and stuff like that. It's always nice to try and have some fun, but not have it kind of, in my mind, at the expense of the players or the team specifically.
Right, lighten the load and not make it such a downer, for sure.
Yeah, enjoy yourself a bit.
Yeah. Gene, thanks so much for this. Enjoy your family. Enjoy your summer.
Thanks. I appreciate the time.
All right. That's Gene Principe from Rogers Sportsnet, talking puns, talking Oilers, talking summer. And you know what? It's going to be a very interesting summer for Oilers fans. Coming up, we'll talk to Jim Byers from the Oklahoma City Barons.